This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Good morning. Great to be in the Lord's house. I'm so thrilled that you're here today. Thank you for giving this day to the Lord. What a good-looking group of people. We've been preaching about All in the Family, and I'm going to continue that. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? I want to talk to you about the realities of marriage. The realities of marriage. The story says that an angel came to Adam. And the angel said to Adam, Adam, I've got a proposition for you. A proposition. What is that? He said, well, I want to give you a woman. And Adam said, what is a woman? And the angel said, a she. And Adam said, what will she do? And then the angel said, well, Adam, after you've been out in the garden and you've worked all day, when you come in, she's going to meet you. And she's going to be beautifully dressed. And she's going to have on perfume. And she's going to have a rose in her mouth. But not only will she meet you at the door beautifully dressed, you'll smell the aroma of a delicious meal. Because she's a great cook. She's great in the kitchen. She's not a Pillsbury cook. You know what a Pillsbury cook is? That's one of those cooks, you better take a pill before you eat it or they'll bury you. No. She's not a Pillsbury cook. She's a great, great cook, and it's going to be a delicious meal. And Adam, after you have that delicious meal, she's going to give you a massage. She's going to take her hands, and she's going to caress your back. Oh, Adam, it's going to be wonderful. And then, Adam, after that, you will sit down in your lazy boy recliner. And all you'll have to do is request something. And she'll be Johnny on the spot. And she'll be right there. And she's going to get it for you. Adam said, that is amazing. Adam said, let me ask you something. What is that going to cost me? And the angel says, an arm and a leg. And Adam says, what can I get for a real? Amen. The realities of marriage. Somebody said our marriage is made in heaven. I always say, so is thunder and lightning. Amen. So is thunder and lightning. You know, every marriage starts out as ideal. Oh, it's ideal. Oh, what's really ideal is the dating, you know, the dating. Oh, we put the best foot forward, and you think, oh, man, he is so wonderful, and she's so precious. No, they're not. The real person's home in a cage, amen? No, it's just a forest. It's just the dating. But we start out, and it's ideal. But after a little while, we've got an ordeal. By the way, in every marriage, there will be an ordeal. Many times, many, many ordeals. But in every marriage, it will be ideal, and it will then lean to ordeal. But you want to make sure you don't reach the point that you're looking for a new deal. A new deal. You don't want to do that. Now, I read about the Song of Solomon, this book that's so graphic. And I read it. And boy, for about four or five chapters, it's wonderful. They're just in love. I mean, they're just passionately, they're expressing their love. They're just passionately in love. But I want you to know something. In chapter 5, something happens. They start having some problems. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about problems. Because this is what I know. I've got problems. You've got problems. All God's children got problems. Amen? So we're going to talk about the problems today. I want you to see three things. They're just simple. Number one, I want you to see the cause. The cause. Now let's look at the story. Let's let the story speak for itself. The Shulamite, the bride, the wife, she said, I sleep. She's in bed. She's asleep. She's ready to retire. But she said, my heart waketh. And look, it's the voice of Sally, my beloved, that knocketh, saying, let's look at what Solomon said. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, smooth-talking guy. Now look, she's in bed, my love, my dove, my undefiled. You don't have to have a theological degree to know what was on his mind. You don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to figure this one out. He said, my head is filled with dew. I've been outside and these long locks are filled with dew, with the drops of the night. So you can see where he is trying to go. But look what she says. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Well, paraphrase that, Pastor. She said, I'm ready to go to sleep. She said, I am not interested in what you are interested in at this time. I just want to go to sleep. How many of you know, folks, that's real life? That's real life. It's just where we live. See, I want you to understand something. Marriage is God's provision for the physical relationship. I'll say it better than that. Marriage is God's provision for the sexual relationship. It's important that it's within the parameters of God's provision. It's important that it's within the parameters of God's provision. Now, some of you today, by the time we get finished, you won't enjoy the message. But I want you to understand something. I'm just the mailman. I'm just delivering the mail. I'm just delivering what God's word says. And I'd rather you be upset with me as God to be upset with me. So I want to share what God's word says. Because marriage is God's provision for the physical, sexual relationship. Now, there's three things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the word permanence. Permanence. When a marriage is consummated, the two become one. Emotionally, they're one. Psychologically, they're one. Spiritually, they're one. It's something that God does. And it's meant to happen within the confines of marriage. I want you to understand, many young ladies are greatly confused. Young men also. But many times I see it in young ladies. Because something happens when it happens. Something happens psychologically. Something happens physically. Something happens spiritually. And something happens mentally. And they don't know how to handle it. There's a connection that they really don't understand. And what they don't understand, it was meant to happen within the permanency of marriage. It was meant to happen within the permanency of marriage. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Look, and they're one flesh. You and your mother are not one flesh. You and your father are not one flesh. You and your child are not one flesh. You and your mate are one flesh. Now get this. It's consummated. They become one flesh. And notice something. They were both naked, the man and his wife. But get this. They weren't ashamed. They weren't guilty. They didn't live with condemnation because it was done God's way. And when you do it God's way, you don't have to live with the guilt. You don't have to live with the condemnation. By the way, folks, I know it's 2021, but God's word is still God's word, even in 2021. The permanency of marriage, but I want you to see something else. The relationship's about permanency, but it's about procreation. Let me explain. Look what the Bible says. God created man in his own image. And in the image God created he him. Male and female he created them. And look what the next verse says. And God blessed them. And then God said, be fruitful and multiply. Now I want you to understand something. Marriage is about procreation. I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but two men can't be fruitful and multiply. Two women cannot be fruitful and multiply. We can't redefine what God has already defined. We can't redefine what God has already defined. All I'm going to say is let the word of God be the word of God, and look what it says. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burn with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Now you said, Pastor Benny, I'm in an alternate lifestyle. And let me say something about that. I am wise enough to know that I don't totally understand everything. I'm wise enough to know that. But you say, Pastor, is there any hope for me? What about my child? What about my family member? Is there hope? And the answer is yes, there is. Yes, there is. I want to show you what God's word says. It says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge, look, in sexual sin, worship idols, commit adultery, are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality. And look here. For a long, long time, the church is wanting to camp right here. And we want to hoop and holler right here. But wait. God deals with some stuff right here. God deals with some stuff here. By the way, while he's classifying all this, he doesn't stop right there. He goes on a little further. Stay with me. Thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusive, those who cheat people. None of these continuous will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, I will. But listen, I've got some wonderful news. It's the next verse. Some of you were once like that. Some of us were once like that. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The confides, I want you to understand something. It's about permanence. It's about procreation. But it's about something else. It's about pleasure. It's about pleasure. The physical relationship, it's about pleasure. You know, there was a lady in the Bible. Her name was Sarah. And when she was 75, God said, you're going to have a baby. Could you imagine? You're 75 and God says, you're going to have a baby. But she knew, listen, what had to take place in order for that to take place. And look what she said. She said, I'm waxed old. She said, I'm old. But look what she said. Looks like I'm going to have pleasure. I'm old, but it looks like I'm going to have pleasure. I was researching this week about the relationship between men and women. I researched a lot of things. I researched how the men are more driven. And I found out it was interesting. It was just interesting that men are more driven on days that begin with T. It was interesting. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Tatterday, and Dunday. Now this is from Red Book Magazine. Red Book Magazine said what men enjoy most about marriage. 78% of men said the physical relationship. 8 out of 10 said it. But then I thought, I wonder where women are on this issue. What matters? What do they enjoy most about being married? 29% said what they enjoy most is relaxing on the beach. Now, men are 78% the other way. Look this. 28% said a romantic dinner. 9% said a physical relationship. Now, here's what blew my mind. 8% said a piece of chocolate cake. I'm not talking out of line, but it's just one point above a piece of chocolate cake. Amen? I mean, why don't we be honest? Men are just like a microwave. Amen? And women are just like a crock pot. Amen? I said, God, I want to share what your word says, nothing more, nothing less. And I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 to find out what God's word says, nothing more, nothing less. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Paul said it'd be best if a man never did get married. It'd be best if a man would just stay single. That way he could focus totally on the work of the Lord. But most men are not able to do that. And he said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, you don't want to be involved in fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, And likewise also the wife unto the husband. You say, is that talking about what I think it's talking about? Yes, it is. The wife have not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, have not power of his own body, but the wife. What's it saying? It's saying, now, you don't demand because your mate's not a piece of property. And you don't manipulate. You don't say, if you do this, we'll do that. No, no, no. But God said something in verse 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. Because he says, look, the enemy will tempt you. The enemy will tempt you. God brings couples together so the enemy won't tempt you. God brings couples together so the enemy won't tempt you. And your relationship is God's provision for you. Here Sally comes. It's the cause. But then there's the chaos. You say, what do you mean the chaos? Well, you know the story. She says no. And Sally says, I go. It's a true story. You read it in verse 6. He left. Verse 6, he literally left. I've been asked a lot of times, Pastor, when should somebody leave? When is it right to leave? Well, let me tell you something. If there's physical abuse for you or your children, it's the right time to leave. It's the right time to leave. If there's abuse going on, it's the time to leave. And then I've been asked, what are biblical grounds, Pastor, for divorce? When is it biblically right to get a divorce? Two times. Two grounds for biblical divorce. Two grounds, not 22, just two biblical grounds. Number one's adultery. It's in Matthew 19 and 9. If adultery takes place, that's biblical grounds for divorce. It's biblical grounds. And then number two is abandonment. It's in 1 Corinthians 7 and 15. It's when an unbelieving spouse leaves. Those are the only two biblical grounds. You said, wait, Pastor. I have been divorced and don't have biblical grounds. Is there hope for me? Yes, there is. Because 1 John 1 and 9 says this. If we confess our sins, even if that's divorce, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins, look, and cleanse us from all. That includes divorce, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now get this. You say, well, man, if there's been adultery, God commands divorce. No, he doesn't. God never commands divorce. He allows divorce. The perfect will of God is for families to stay together and fight for their families, and work for their families, and work through the problems, and become the man and woman that we ought to be, and try to please the Lord. Now, I've talked about the cause. I've talked about the chaos. Let me close with this. What's the cure? What's the cure? Well, in verse 6, she said, he left. But she said, I sought him. He left, but I went after him. You know, folks, I believe there's too many leaving and we're not going after them. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. You need to fight for your family. The enemy wants to destroy your family. And you're going to have to fight for your family. Or the enemy will destroy your family. You need to get up in the morning and go to bed at night saying, I'm going to fight for my family. The Bible says she went after him. And this is what it says. It says in chapter 6 that her friend said, I don't know where he's at. She said, I know where he's at. I know exactly where he's at. He's in the garden. You know what, folks? If you stay together long enough, you'll start learning how the other one thinks. If you stay together long enough, you'll be able to pick it up. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be riding down the road and you'll say, I thought we might go to the Mexican restaurant tonight. And she'll say, that's fine if that's what you want. And you'll be able to pick up, that's not where I need to go tonight. Hey, I'm some dumb, but not plumb dumb, amen? And you're not either. And when you stay together a long period of time, you start learning how the other one thinks. And she said, I know how he thinks. I know where he's at. I'm going to go to that garden. And she goes to that garden, and there's Solomon. Now look this. And he says, thou art beautiful. You know the cure? You know, for the cure for the problems in your marriage is when you learn to forgive one another. It's when you learn to forgive one another. If you're going to have a good marriage, you got to have a good forgetter. That's a good tweet. You know, if you're going to have a good marriage, you got to have a good forgetter. Amen? That's what the scripture teaches. You know, I'm almost done. But I heard about a grandfather and grandmother that were married for 60 years. And the granddaughter came to her and said, Grandmother, 60 years. How do you do it? She said, well, when we got married, I just decided there was 10 things in your grandfather that I would overlook. 10 things that I would overlook. And that granddaughter said, Grandmother, let me see that list. She said, well, honey, I really never made a list. But she said, every time he messed up, I just said, you better thank God that's on the list. She understood forgiveness. Let me make three quick statements and we'll go home. Number one, concerning forgiveness, God commands it. You see, God commands it, folks. Why should we forgive? God commands we forgive. The second thing I'd say, forgiveness will destroy you. Unforgiveness will destroy you. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, it's the root of bitterness. That root will destroy you. And then number three, we forgive so we can be forgiven. We forgive so we can be forgiven. You say, I'm not going to forgive her. Well, I hope you don't need forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive him. I hope you don't need it. Because Matthew chapter 6 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Husbands and wives, Corinthians says this, keep no record of wrong. Paraphrase that, Pastor Benny. Quit bringing that up. Let it go. Let it go. Quit bringing that up. If you're going to stay together, let it go. You can't keep bringing it up. Let it go. It's killing both of you. Let it go. Now I'm done. This is the most important thing I'll say. And it took me years to learn this. I think I'm learning it now. Forgiveness is an act and a process. Forgiveness is an act and a process. It's an act of the will. It's a decision. But listen closely. It's also a process. Let me expound and I'm done. You go and you buy your wife a nice necklace. Maybe a diamond necklace. Maybe hint, I don't know. But anyway, you buy your wife a necklace. You pop that card out there. You made a decision. It's an act. See, when you forgive, you make a decision. It's an act of the will. It's when you just say, no, I've decided I'm going to forgive her. I've decided I'm going to forgive him. But it doesn't end there, because it's a process. Because see that nice necklace you got? When you laid that card out, 30 days later, there's something coming through the mail. And it's probably coming 30 days after that, and 30 days after that. That's why you've got to learn it's a process, because it will come back up. And you've got to say, no, I made a decision to forgive. I made a decision to forgive. Because forgiveness is not just an act. It's a process. It's a process. The cause, the chaos, but the cure. So when we say, yeah, we've had some problems, but I'm going to forgive you. And I'm not going to bring it up. And we're going to be better because of it. Solomon and Shulamite learned something very important.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.